Welcome everyone. It's great to see you, our guests. It's lovely to see all the rest of you as well. It is just like the feast. We need to be let down rather gently, don't we? Please turn to John chapter 14 and chapter 2, something we read frequently, Passover. We even sing in one of the hymns in the hymnal. Why am I looking at Psalms? I'm trying to find John 14. Christ speaking to his followers, his disciples, and we like to include ourselves in these comments. John chapter 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, reading the King James Version. If it were not so, I would have told you. Many mansions. Modern usage, a large house. Are we being promised a large house, a palace, a chateau, a Schloss? Sorry, that's my German accent is even worse than my South African one. Here we are, embarking on a life of sacrifice, preparing to give to the world, and yet this sounds like a politician promising us mansions. I think a government in South Africa was elected on the basis of everyone being promised a house. I think we need to understand, or I want to explain to you, that Christ is not promising us grand houses for our personal aggrandizement, as a reward for supporting some revolutionary movement. We're not war heroes of Zimbabwe waiting to take mansions off people as a reward for fighting in a vicious civil war. Or neither are we like the Nazis. There were a number of stories during the last war. People in our part of the country, down in the far west, a little place called St. Ives, were quite convinced they would never be bombed by the Luftwaffe, because Hermann Göring, the Reichsmark Air Marshal, apparently had promised himself that when Britain was successfully subdued and brought into the common market, I mean Nazi Germany, he was going to have this place. So they said, well, he's certainly not going to bomb St. Ives when he's going to come and live amongst us part of the year. And the other story was the foreign minister, Ribbentrop. We used to go for some Spokesman's Club dinners to a place on the edge of Dartmoor in Devon, near Moreton Hampstead, the Manor House Hotel, and apparently Ribbentrop had decided that this was his just desserts. So I want to discourage all of you from looking around to see which particular mansion you're going to beg for yourself should you make it into God's kingdom, because the hymn we sing actually uses many offices. If we think in terms of God is preparing places for us, places, responsibilities, duties, tasks, obligations, it's a little different from this wonderful indulgence of living in a mansion, a large, grand house. We recently enjoyed the feast in Derbyshire, and we had the privilege of, again, of looking around Chatsworth. We cannot all have a Chatsworth each. Seems terribly unfair, doesn't it? If we look over at the physical temple, we realize that we are looking forward to the return of Christ to a spiritual temple, but we are given very precise information about the physical construction, which if we can apply spiritually, hopefully we can learn a lesson from. In 1 Kings chapter 6, there is a description of an aspect of Solomon's temple where it describes in 1 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 5, and against the wall of the house, this is the temple, the Holy of Holies and the holy place, against the outside walls, he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, so presumably on each side and to the rear of the temple. Both of the temple and of the oracle, and he made chambers round about. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad. The lower chamber was 5 cubits broad. The chamber above, the first floor, 6 cubits, and the second or third level, 7 cubits broad. For without, in the wall of the house, he made narrowed rests round about. These were like a ledge on the exterior of the main wall of the temple, on which the rafters were then rested. We have the temple structure, and then the main building, then there are ledges with the timbers rest upon. They did not intrude into the structure of the building. They rested on these ledges that were thicker. And then, of course, as it came up another step, another ledge, and another level. We have a description of what these were used for in Nehemiah. Unfortunately, a problem arose in Nehemiah's time which had to be rectified. In Nehemiah chapter 13, we have an arrangement. Mr. Henderson the Younger, if I go over time, will help me to come back on track by throwing some water over me. So that's why I keep glancing at the clock with a certain amount of trepidation. In Nehemiah 13, starting in verse 4, and before this, Eliashib, the priest, who I understand was the high priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, this is the man who's the custodian of these offices, chambers or storerooms adjacent to the temple. This man used his position of privilege and opportunity when he was allied to a certain Tobias. He had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithes of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priest. All these things pertaining to the services of the temple, used in this instance not as an office but as a store. But these apartments were given to Tobias, an Ammonite, who was allied to Sanballat, allied or even servant to Sanballat, who I understand was a Samaritan, was part of the groups of people who had been settled, an observer of the Babylonian mystery religions, and they were allied to the high priest in the time of Nehemiah. An incredible situation. Actually moved in on God's true worship, were part of the very fabric of the temple. Nehemiah had to change this around. And he threw this out, cleaned the place up, and put it back to the use that it was intended. There is very little information about the offices of the temple, but we do know that we are intended to be the spiritual reproduction of the temple. We are being prepared as part of the temple. If we can grasp the offices attached to the temple, making up the house of God, not actually in the Holy of Holies or in the holy place, but right there with God, working and serving in the purpose that he has for us. We are not revolutionary veterans looking to take for ourselves grandiose mansions. We are preparing for responsibilities and places in God's kingdom, working with Christ in our offices. It's still something to be incredibly eager to anticipate. Maybe it's not such a good electioneering platform, but we are training to be able to give and to serve, not take to ourselves mansions, but to fulfill the places that God is preparing for us